Good Sunday morning to each of you. Have you noticed that it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas? I mean, really, everywhere we go. Decorations are up, Christmas carols are being sung. It truly is the most wonderful time of the year, the happiest season of them all. We have in our home a plaque that says Christmas is coming, and we never take it down. We love to celebrate the reason for the season and all that goes into that celebration. I have a question for you, and it's simply this. What are you doing this Christmas? What are you doing this Christmas? And I don't mean, where are you going? I don't mean what's on the menu, and I don't mean how many Christmas programs and concerts you'll be attending, and how many carols you will indeed sing. When I ask the question, what are you doing for Christmas? The thought behind that question is this. What are we doing to make sure we don't miss what Christmas is all about? What will we purposefully and intentionally do this Christmas season so our focus is appropriate in the midst of the hustle and bustle, if you will? I invite you to turn in your Bibles with me to begin this morning to 1 Peter chapter 1. And as you're turning, allow me to reminisce a little bit regarding my upbringing. My parents, my mom and dad, encouraged me along the way, all of us, my three sisters and myself, to be intentional during the Christmas season. Pick a favorite character from God's word and study their life and circumstances. Pick a favorite character in the Christmas story. Pick a favorite hymn, a particular movie that might have a solid Christmas theme or emphasis. When our kiddos were little, we used to watch a film entitled The Very First Noel. I recommend it highly if you have kids of any age. We use it still with our youth group. It's a fairly accurate telling of the Christmas story, narrated by Andy Griffith. Some great rhyming and a number of Christmas carols woven into that theatrical delight. What are you going to do on purpose this Christmas to make sure that you do not miss it? Miss the reason for the season. I'd like to take us through a little exercise, and I'd love to provide you a little homework that will not be collected nor graded. But nevertheless, I would like for you to pick a favorite. Pick a favorite character, and we're going to look at several. A favorite character, and as we observe their response to the incarnation, often there will be a word or two that summarizes it. In essence, I'm asking you, perhaps, to have a word for the season. What is your reaction to the incarnation? What is your response to the reality that the Lord Jesus Christ left heaven's glory, took on flesh and blood, all so he could die, and we celebrate his first advent and all that the incarnation represents? What word and what character stands out to you as your response to the Christmas season? We'll begin in 1 Peter chapter 1. Be reminded that Peter, and we can understand why, was thrilled with the reality of our so great a salvation. He begins 1 Peter chapter 1 and talks in doxological form, bringing glory to God for our salvation, which is so great. And he has just concluded saying so in verses 3 through 9. And then he makes reference to what he was just talking about. And he says it this way. Our first characters for our consideration this morning are the prophets of old. Have you ever looked at the incarnation through their lens and perspective? In verse 10, it says this, as to this salvation, the salvation he was just talking about in the previous verses, which meant so much to him, and we understand why, he says, as to this salvation, the prophets who prophesy. I want you to think about that with me this morning. Think about Isaiah. Think about Micah. Think about the prophets of old who made specific prophecies regarding the coming Messiah, regarding the suffering servant, regarding the reality of the incarnation. Think about literally what was going through their minds and hearts as they were writing down, as they were led by the Holy Spirit. Have you thought about that? What did Micah think when he wrote down Bethlehem Ephratah? What did Isaiah think when he wrote, for unto us a son is given, unto us a son is born? What do you think they were thinking as they literally and diligently, being led by the Holy Spirit, were recording these prophetic statements about the coming Messiah? Peter shed some light on that for us. And he says this, verse 10, as to this salvation, the prophets who prophesied of the grace that would come to you. And so here's a wonderful statement describing the incarnation of Christ, the coming of the Messiah, Emmanuel, God with us, tabernacling among us. It's described this way by Peter as the grace that would come to you. And the prophets, as they were doing their job, it says they made careful searches and inquiries. Perhaps that's your reaction to the Christmas season this year, that you will make it your job to make careful searches and inquiries, that you will look carefully into the Christmas accounts, the incarnation accounts in the Gospels. Maybe pick a solid book that you can read on the incarnation to think more carefully about all that it entails. Can you imagine the prophets as they were writing and prophesying? They were trying to put the pieces of this puzzle together. Who's it going to be, and when's it going to be, and where's it going to be? They were interested. Are you interested to learn more, to put more pieces of the incarnation puzzle together? The prophets give us a great example. They were diligent. They made careful searches and inquiries. Look at verse 11. Seeking to know what person, who's it going to be? Or time, when is it going to be? The Spirit of Christ within them was indicating, as he predicted, the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. Isn't that a wonderful consideration? Here they are writing these things and understanding a little bit about what they're writing. The suffering servant must suffer first and then glory to follow. That it's going to be a specific person as promised and prophesied, and the location is key as well. And so as they're writing these things down, they're trying to figure out, They're trying to figure it out, making careful searches and inquiry. The Spirit is assisting them, leading them, and guiding them. Verse 12 helps us understand a little more about that divine assistance. It says this: "It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you." Isn't that a wonderful consideration? Think about, again, Isaiah. Think about Micah. Think about the Messianic Psalms. Think about from the beginning, and beginning with Moses and the prophets, he began, the Lord Jesus, explaining himself, Luke 24 tells us. Think about what they must have thought about. And they had an understanding, they were divinely made aware that their prophetic ministry was for our sake. We're included in that. They knew that they were not serving themselves, but they were serving others. Their prophetic ministry, mouthpieces of God, recording this revealed truth, this special revelation, they knew their ministry was for the sake of other people. They were not serving themselves, verse 12, but you, in these things which now have been announced to you, through those who preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Here are people made reference to that have taken this information, the good news of the gospel, and it has been announced, it has been proclaimed, it has been heralded, it has been made known. And the Holy Spirit was involved in that process also. Think about how blessed we are to be the recipients of the ministry of the prophets. They knew they were serving others, not themselves. What they were recording have everything to do with the grand and glorious gospel message that Christ died, was buried, rose again, and was seen. And we have benefited greatly through those who have made it known, proclaimed the gospel, and the Holy Spirit was involved in that process. Character number one, consideration number one is the prophets. Maybe that will be your selection for this particular season. And the word or words that correspond to the prophets are the following: careful searches and inquiry. Will you do that this year? So we don't miss the real reason for the season. The end of verse 12, we have our second consideration, and this one we tend to overlook from time to time. Notice what it says at the end of verse 12. Not only did the prophets of old, as they were prophesying, not only did they make careful searches and inquiries, but we have the angelic realm being very interested in God's plan of salvation. We're told in the Gospels that when someone makes a decision, convicted by the Holy Spirit, led to acknowledge that they are sinners in need of a Savior, and by faith alone, through grace alone, they trust in Christ alone, based upon what the Word of God alone says for God's glory alone. And when they make a sincere decision to accept Christ as Savior, what does the Word of God say angels do? They celebrate, they rejoice. And this verse closes with a very simple phrase. Have you ever thought about it? Things into which angels long to look. Angels long to look. There are all sorts of passages that evidence that angels are observing, they're watching, they long to watch and look and see. And this passage has everything to do with what the prophets were writing down in regards to the plan of salvation. And the angels, I've heard it described, are leaning over the edge of heaven, watching and stooping and looking into God's plan of salvation. Have you ever thought about the angels and how they are engaged in observing God's plan of salvation through his Son incarnate? It's fun for them to watch. They enjoy observing, they enjoy looking into it intently, purposefully, into which angels long to look. Maybe you'll be angel-like in your approach of this Christmas season and long to look into the details of how God has brought about so great a salvation. Prophets made careful searches and inquiry. Angels long to look into. There's another familiar passage in Luke chapter 2 that I'd love to consider for just a few moments with you, full of characters in their responses to the incarnation. I can hardly read this passage without thinking of Linus and the reality of his reading of this Christmas account. There's a particular occasion, watch it this season, where he drops his blanket. And there's some significance in regards to the text that he reads. That was extra for your consideration. Verse 8 says this of Luke chapter 2, and we'll be here for the duration, looking at numerous characters that each play a role in the incarnation story and word or words that describe their reaction. And again, we're asking each other, we're asking the question, how will you respond? What word would you use to describe your reaction to the incarnation? Let's begin with the shepherds in verse 8. And in the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. Can you even imagine? And that's the goal today, that we would imagine, that we would consider anew and afresh this particular account and what occurred and might respond appropriately so we don't miss the reason for this season. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And here's the first reaction of the shepherds. It's not the only. And they were terribly frightened. Wouldn't you be? I mean, think about it. This glory shining all about you. An angel suddenly standing before you. I'd be terribly frightened as well. The angel speaks, and the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid." Are you serious? But appropriately so. They were terribly frightened, and the angel said, "Don't be afraid," and here's why. For behold, and I love the word behold. The word behold conveys, pay attention, wake up, don't snooze, don't sleep, don't miss it. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for all the people. For today, in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. What is your reaction to the truth of the incarnation and this all-familiar story that we especially read this time of year? And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly, there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host. Can you imagine that one? Here's one and then myriads. A multitude of angelic beings. And they declare the following, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. We've begun looking at the shepherds. Their only response thus far is that they were frightened, terribly frightened. We'll see more in just a moment. But the angels had an expression of praise, an expression of giving the glory due his name. Will that be your response this Christmas season? Will you purpose anew and afresh to sincerely respond and sing and say, to God be the glory. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. There's more. And it came about, verse 15, and it came about when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds, we're back to them now, that the shepherds began saying to one another, imagine this conversation. Their emotions have fluctuated greatly. They were terribly afraid. Now they're incredibly excited. Let's go. Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. Think about the attitude of gratitude displayed and evidenced in those words. We've been included. This news has been shared with us, which the Lord has made known to us. Let's go straight to Bethlehem then. 16 continues their response, and they came in haste. And they came in haste. 20, if you'll jump down there with me, and they responded in this manner. And the shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as they had been told them. Just as had been told them. What a wonderful thing to have these statements clearly made and clearly fulfilled, and the right reaction and response. Again, angel-like, glorifying and praising God. Verse 16 introduces yet another character, a very popular one for our consideration every Christmas season. And they came in haste, the shepherds, and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. The main characters of our story, if you will. And when they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about the child. And all who heard it, listen to this word, wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. So the shepherds, before they gave glory and praise to God because of all that they have seen and heard, according to what they were told, they tell people. They tell people. And they came in haste and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. And when they had seen this, they made it known. Will that be the way in which you respond? The shepherds have several responses for our consideration. One is a telling of the story. They made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And those who heard what they made known were full of, here's one of my favorite words of this account, wonder. I don't know if wonderment is a word, but I think it should be. If it's not, here they are full of wonderment. Here they are full of wonder as they have been told and as they see and as they put the plan, the pieces of this plan of salvation together. We've seen the prophets in their response. We've seen the angels in their response, both in Peter and this account as well. We've seen several reaction and responses by the shepherds. Evangelistic, making the details known, and worshipful in praise and glory being expressed. there's another individual that I have on several occasions thought about the incarnation through her lens and perspective, and that's Mary. And they came in haste and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. And when they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at all the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary, verse 19, treasured up all these things. The first thing Mary did, as described in this incarnation account, was to treasure, to get it all together. And then the second thing is that she pondered them in her heart. Those are great considerations for us this Christmas season, to respond in Mary-like fashion, to treasure it all, to treasure up all these things and ponder. You know what ponder conveys? That you'll think about it more than you'll spend time on your phone. You'll really think long and hard about what has happened. Considering is another word similar to pondering, which conveys adding up all the facts that are true and then coming to a conclusion about what you have seen and heard. I love Mary's reaction. She treasured up and she pondered. What are you doing this Christmas? What will you and your spouse and your family and your relatives and your friends and neighbors, or all that you may or may not gather with, what will you do this Christmas to intentionally respond in a biblical form and fashion to the indescribable gift of God's Son? What will you do? What will you read? What will you see to help you respond in similar manner? Who of our characters today have encouraged you to think and respond in a similar form? There's a couple more for our consideration. Some of the underdogs and overlooked sometimes in this story, but their reactions are rich and deep. 21. And when 8 days were completed, we see the dedication of Joseph and Mary to abide according to the law of the land. And when 8 days were completed, before his circumcision, his name was then called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. You wonder when to name your kids? There's a great example. And when the days of their purification according to the law of Moses were complete, notice how they are following according to the law. They brought him, who is that? The baby, the Christ child. They brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Why did they do that? As it is written in the law. Are you following with me? Verse 23. Every firstborn male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. So this dedication is rightfully taking place. And to offer a sacrifice according to what was said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. 25. May I encourage you to watch. 25 and following, we see the Holy Spirit's involvement in the incarnation. We saw that in 1 Peter already, and it's throughout the incarnation accounts. Notice how the Holy Spirit is involved. 25, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. I love this character, and I love his response. And this man was righteous and devout, and he was looking. He was anticipating. He, being righteous and devout, knew full on that there was a promise of the coming Messiah, and he was looking and waiting and anticipating for his arrival. And he had some assistance in regards to this reality. Look at what it says. Looking for the consolation of Israel, and here he is, the Holy Spirit was upon him. Can you picture that scene? Here's Simeon, righteous and devout, the Holy Spirit involvement in his life as the Christ child is brought into the temple for dedication and for appropriate offerings to be made. 26 lets us in on the story, and it had been revealed to him by whom? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's role in the incarnation is beautiful. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Would you want to know that? You know you're not going to die until you see the promised one. What a divine privilege that the Holy Spirit made Simeon aware of. And so, devout and righteous, he's longing, he's waiting, he's anticipating for the arrival of the one that was promised and the confirmation of his time to depart. And he came in the Spirit. There it is again. There he is again. And he came in the Spirit, in verse 27, into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to carry out for him the custom of the law, then, can you imagine it? Imagine the reality of celebrating the new birth of a child. The first time seeing and the first time holding. And here's Simeon, and again, the Holy Spirit is leading and guiding each step. Then he took him, the Christ child, can you get over that? Then he took him into his arms, and he appropriately blesses God. He blessed God, and here's what he said. Now, Lord, thou dost let thy bondservant depart in peace. He was waiting for the consolation, the hope, the peace that Israel would have in the promise of the Messiah. And now he says, I can depart in peace according to thy word. Don't you love it that God always does what he says he's going to do? According to thy word, for my eyes have seen thy salvation. And you told me that would happen. And I've been waiting and longing and anticipating, and he has arrived. For my eyes have seen thy salvation. In a child, in an infant, Simeon is able to put the pieces of the prophetic puzzle together and recognize that he is holding the Savior of the world. For my eyes have seen thy salvation. Wouldn't it be wonderful if someone here this very afternoon who has never put the pieces of the incarnation story together of God's plan of salvation, that this day or this season they might see his salvation? The plan of salvation that came together when Christ appeared. There's a great study for you this season. Look at the Advents, the first appearing accounts of the Lord Jesus. For my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared in the presence of all people, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Perhaps you'll think about the implications and the details of God's plan of salvation coming together and all that it means. Maybe find a favorite passage, write a poem, consider the significance of what has occurred. Just a few more reactions before our time is gone. Verse 33, again, we have parents mentioned, and his father and mother, first it says, were amazed at the things which they were amazed at the things which were being said about him. Can you Can you even begin to think about a parental perspective as unique and miraculous as theirs indeed was? Can you think about the amazement, the pride, the joy when they listened to what was being said about Christ? They were amazed at the things which were being said about him. Will that be your word for this season? Amazed. Amazing. And Simeon blessed them, part of his role as a devout and righteous man, and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and for a sign to be opposed, and a sword will pierce even your own soul to the end that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. Not only was there amazement in response by Mary and Joseph, but there was heart-wrenching reality that sunk in as well, as they understood through this statement and others, they were learned and in the know, what would ultimately happen to the Christ child. One final character for our consideration. Anna, the prophetess. And there was a prophetess, Anna, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, a very polite way of saying that, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage. And then as a widow to the age of 84. And she, listen to these words, we're not quite done. And she never left the temple, serving night and day with fastings and prayers. Great response and reaction from Anna the prophetess. Fasting and praying, longing and looking. And notice as we conclude how this section concludes. And at that very moment she came up, Anna, who never left, who was fasting and praying, at that very moment she came up and began giving thanks to God. Why? I love it when a plan comes together. And here Anna sees much like Simeon, the answer to her fasting and praying, the long anticipated one. And she has a twofold response. Notice it. Maybe this is practically ours this season. And at that very moment, she came up and began giving thanks to God. Will you do that? Will you do that this season? Have you begun to do so? And none of us need to assume that that has occurred yet because of all the hustle and the bustle, as it is the happiest season of them all. Will we pause long enough to say, you know what? I'm grateful. I'm thankful. Maybe that's your word for the season, and Anna is your character of consideration. And began giving thanks to God, and notice how we conclude, and continued to speak of him to all those who were looking for the redemption of Israel. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills, and everywhere. She not only expressed gratitude, but she told someone about it. Who will you tell this Christmas season? Not just give a Christmas card or some fruitcake, but who will you spend time to explain and declare the real reason for the season? We began with the prophets and we end with Anna, several characters all in between, each evidencing a reaction for us to the incarnation. What will be yours? What are you doing this Christmas to ensure that you will not miss the reason for the season? Father, help us, I pray. Help us to be purposeful and intentional. Help us to think about what are we going to do that will help us to see more clearly, to put another piece of the incarnation puzzle together, to appreciate anew and afresh the indescribable gift of your Son, the Lord Jesus. Father, help us to respond in a way that brings you glory and praise. May we worship, may we rejoice, may we give thanks, may we be in awe and wonder, may we be amazed, may we make careful searches and inquiries, may we be evangelistic, may we long to look into. Father, help us to be intentional and on purpose, get a plan individually and corporately for families, for loved ones, to not miss it. So we ask that those that we have seen today from the pages of Scripture and their responses to the incarnation might be ours as well. Help us to celebrate appropriately this most wonderful time of the year. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.